Thank you. Thank you, the experts. Greetings, Ambassador, and also the colleague in the panel, and greetings to you all. Good afternoon. I hope that everyone is going well. So I've heard many things about businesses, so it's good that I'm here to bring our voice, right? And sometimes also to unpack what we heard so far. My first point is here to say that businesses and the right to development go together, right? I mean, there is no society, there is no development without businesses, and obviously business without society is meaningless, right? So the point here is to say that everything that is about development, economic development, social development, business is on board and business positively contributes. If you today here in the room, you all have a smartphone, well, I guess that there's a brand behind it and so a business behind it. So this is the starting point. Then there is a mutual reinforcing role, right, between development and businesses. One without the other cannot work. So businesses need consumers, they need us, they need you in this room, also to be part of what they need to deliver on, which are products, right, or services. So we go hand in hand. And we talk about responsible business conduct, business human rights, and this legally binding instrument. This is very much something that is key to businesses, right? The society has evolved since 2011 and the UN Guiding Principles on Business Human Rights. There have been many changes in the corporate mindset to ensure that whatever a responsible business, whatever a credible business does, it has responsible business conduct at its very heart and core. On the treaty, as IOE, the International Organization of Employers, I'm representing, we represent circa 50 million companies worldwide, so we really talk about on behalf of business. We have important concerns currently. The current draft is for us not fit for purpose. It is far from being even implementable, and it will create huge, huge problems for member states that would ratify, but also for companies to effectively implement it. The first big problem is the fragmentation that it would create with the UN guiding principles. We heard the ambassador about the need to move from voluntary to binding measures. We do not agree with that perception. We think that voluntary measures still do need focus. Why? Because not every company is able to implement regulatory measures. Knowing that there is an important point here also to stress, it's this dichotomy that I've heard from other speakers here, this idea that there's somehow the business, the private sector, and then there is the rest, the society, right? Again, we go together, business need to fulfill that purpose to serve society. Now, we need to avoid thinking about business as only multinational corporations, right? And this is an important point also to be reflected in the Biden Treaty. As IOE, as representative of the global business community, we want a treaty that is applicable to all businesses, regardless of the size, regardless of the location. Why? Because this is the spirit of the UN guiding principles. And I was really pleased to hear from Bonnie this idea of independent responsibility of all businesses. That was really key in the UN guiding principles. We should not expect only big multinational companies to be respecting everything, to be held accountable for anything that is happening in the supply chain. No, every company has a responsibility. The question now is how you do it. Because let's not forget that business is not an homogeneous group. You have small, medium-sized enterprises. Most of them do account for the vast majority of economic activities. And those small or medium-sized enterprises do not have the capacity to actually implement what is in the UN guiding principles and human rights. Why? For the very reason that they might not have resources to have maybe a human rights officer, a compliance officer, or a sustainability officer in-house in the company. So don't forget that. And don't forget also the micro-entrepreneurs. Many of them, certainly, maybe sometimes when you go and you buy your bread, that's a small bakery. Do we imagine that this small bakery has the resources to afford to have something on human rights due diligence? We have strong doubts. So it's important to bring some pragmatism also in this discussion. The other problem with the current binding treaty on business human rights is the extraterritorial jurisdiction element that is bringing. This would actually go against the state sovereignty of many of the member states that are in the room now. And this is a concern to us as business representatives. Why? Because for us as business enterprises, the most important is legal certainty. And the moment that you start changing those long-standing principles and international human rights law, this will create problems, right? This will create problem of certainty, of liability. And well, to do business, you need at least a clear legal framework that this treaty would definitely pose problem regarding that. A problem is also the investment and trade, right? With the current treaty, this would negatively impact trade and investment. And when we go back to this topic of the right to development, a key component of development is economic development. So you don't want a treaty that would impact that, because if you impact that, then this would impact countries, right? Many of those in the room today. And then it would go against the very objective of development, which is to bring people, you know, get out people out of poverty, for example, and give them a decent salary. And finally, criminal liability. In the current draft treaty, there is criminal liability. This has never happened at any level in terms of international law in human rights treaties. And this would create incentives for many, many, many big corporations to exit certain countries that do not have proper governance and good governance or rule of law in place. So there are huge risks. We are conscious about that, and we need to think about impact. That's what we bring as a message in the Biden treaty negotiation. Let's not forget the negative impact that it could create. And then I will stop there, because I really want to engage with the audience today. Our final point, and the final point in this about IOE, is about the strong need of having a Pillar 1, right? I've heard that from Nadia as well. There is nothing in international law without a robust state duty to protect human rights. That's clear. That's the precondition, right? That's the prerequisite. Unfortunately, as business representative, we see that in many countries, there is not good governance, there is a lack of rule of law, there is corruption, and all that is impacting the right to development, right? And obviously also responsible business conduct. Companies should not be expected to replace states. States have their own sovereignty in international law. And so there is a need to have what we call an enabling environment for sustainable enterprises, which would be conducive for corporations and businesses to push for having economic development and other types of developments, social development. So overall, my plea here is to say, let's try not to push for this dichotomy, right? Let's not think about business on one side and then the rest of society on the other side. I mean, we go hand in hand, and we need to push together to have sustainable development. So thank you.